First Thessalonians. Would somebody hand Travis a Bible? First Thessalonians chapter 3. Somebody help him find Thessalonians. Give him a page number.
1229.
What?
Keep going.
1229.
We studied verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3 Friday. It's wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left alone at Athens, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning the faith. And remember, this was a new church that he had established in Thessalonica. And Thessaloniki or Thessalonia is now part of Greece up in the northern, it's way up in the northern part on some sea, but I don't remember what it is. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. And for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And this is a huge thing to Paul. We need to do something. Travis, I like to see everybody's face, and I can't see. Why don't you move over here by Mr. Evil over there? Sit over there against the ice machine. Suffer tribulation is just one word. It's thlibo, which is a verb form of thlispis. And so every aspect, in every place in the New Testament when a new church was formed, all of the words of Christ, they were warned at the start that to believe in him would cause you tribulation. It's a given. If it isn't happening, you're not in him. There's no exceptions to this. It doesn't matter which culture it's in, which time or which space, because every believer, if he's a true believer, is a threat to every form of thought. And so you, by definition, will always suffer tribulation. That's the purpose of time and space, is antagonism against the seed, against the real life, which is Christ in you. Another one. Well, never mind. Why don't you sit right there?
Here?
Right there. Do you want to sit there? You don't have to sit there. You can sit over here if you want to. Oh, you can sit right here if you want to. Want to sit right here? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:17. That's just 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now it's going to go down to the lot of every believer. And I want you to get this clear and certain in your head. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Excuse me. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Excuse me. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Excuse me. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I remember the first time I read this as a new believer. And I intuited or knew that this was our lot. This was what we are called, appointed to be. Troubled on every side, forsaken, persecuted. But I never dreamed that it would be like it was.
Me, like it is.
Like it has happened to me. You can rest assured that if you're going to a church in which the preacher is telling you how to get things and how to be happy and how to be successful, that it's another gospel. And yet that's what we all want. But this mystery, no matter what it is, the promise of God is that if you abandon yourself to him without condition, that you will receive the desire of your heart. But I promise you this also, that you will not know what the desire of your heart is until it happens. You will always simply know what you want. And what you want has nothing to do with the desire of your heart, because the desire of your heart is so far much deeper than anything you could think or ask or think you want. You heard me say often that after my mind, this place is my worst nightmare. This lot that I've been given is my worst nightmare. But it fulfills every desire of my heart. There's no place on earth that I'd rather be, and there's nothing that I'd rather be doing. Now that's your inheritance. And if this isn't the place, then go find it. But I promise you that you will never find it unless you die to self. You'll be as a leaf blowing in the wind.
Only what you're saying, what it means to me is what you want is what you take from the world. The desire of your heart maybe is your gift that you don't even know what it is.
Amen.
The scripture has always been a great comfort because it always tells like it is.
He's no blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Oh, and what I mean by gift, it's not a gift that you're getting, it's a gift that you're offering unconditionally and maybe unknowingly.
But by the same token, then, what you get is the desire of your heart. There's very few people that I've ever met that can say what I just said. There's nothing else in the universe that I'd rather be doing, and there's no place on earth that I would rather be. When I was on, used to have all these television and radio shows, I asked people this all the time. You know, I was being very sincere, and I'd say, Dr. So-and-so, the guy in theology. What would you, if you could do anything you want, be any place you wanted to be, where would you be and what would you be doing? And without exception, they said, well, I want to be over there and I want to be doing this or that. That's sad to me. That's incredibly sad. Amen? Can you say, of all the places in the universe, this is where I'd rather be? And of all the things I'm doing, this is what I want to do? I could be doing? It's an interesting challenge, but I urge you to challenge yourself on it. And then see yourself having that thing that you think you want. And see others having had that thing that you think you want, and see if it brought them any peace or any joy or any happiness. All right, back to 1 Thessalonians.
What does perplexed mean in verse 8? I'm sorry.
Perplexed. I'll have to check. I'll have to look that up.
Perplexed but not in despair. My Bible says puzzled. You know, in the connotation there, it's the difference between like overt and covert, like external and internal. It's not physical and...
Remind me to look that up and I'll have it for tomorrow morning. Okay? What does perplexed mean? All right. Verse 4, for verily when we are with you, we told you before that we should all, is what it says, suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. And for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. It is so easy to be seduced just a little bit. Just twist it just a little bit. We've done this before, but I think it's appropriate. How each apostle died. All the apostles were called to seal their doctrines with their blood. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword in a distant city of Ethiopia. Mark died at Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hanged upon an olive tree in the land of Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil but escaped death in a miraculous manner. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head upside down. James the Greater was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Andrew was bound to a cross where he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was killed with a lance in India. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death here where we're talking about it, Thessaloniki or Thessalonia. And Paul, after various tortures and persecutions and prison terms, was at length beheaded at Rome by the Emperor Nero. Such was the fate of all of the apostles. Now again, all they would have had to do is twist it slightly and say, by believing in Christ, you will be able to be successful at whatever you think you want to do. By having a quote-unquote Christian government, that would be in God's will. By, you know, the infinite number of things in all of these diverse places. And again, remember, each of these apostles was alone when they were killed. They could have just said just a slight difference and nobody would have known the difference. They would have been hailed as successful. Now, do you have the integrity to preach this message of the cross no matter what happens? Do you have the integrity to live it? Do you have the integrity to be it in all environments? Or do you sit back in judgment, judging God? Judging others. Judging me. Yeah, right.
I have. They say when I got it, I've been doing the same thing. I'm just sitting back and just...
Just sit back and watch and judge.
Yeah.
Right, Kevin? That's far easier than risking everything at every moment.
I was thinking, what has changed is the world's response to the gospel in the first century versus the world's response to the gospel now.
Nothing has changed.
The message has changed.
Yes, right. The gospel that's being preached isn't the gospel that caused their death. And that's, to me, a great tragedy.
Preaching a safe gospel. You know, get hurt.
Just let this sink in. All right. That's enough sinking in. Lest by some means, for this cause I could no longer forbear, I sent, who did he send? He sent Timothy to come, to go and travel, and it's a rough it's an incredibly rough journey from Athens to Thessalonica. It's over the mountains. It's up. You have to cross over, and you have to go up to the past the Oracle of Delphi. You remember all that, and you have to go over, and it's really rough driving that far, but less to walking it. But Paul and Timothy were so concerned that this new group had stayed steadfast that he sent them to do it, to go look at it. But Paul, for another reason, had to stay in Athens. Okay, then, verse 5. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. We don't have the slightest amount of time left to determine that. I mean, to study that. We'll do that, if Lord willing, tomorrow. You were appointed to suffer tribulation. You can't even quit in your mind. It's time to stop sitting in judgment. If you have a judgment, say it. Test it. If you have a judgment against someone else, say it publicly so it can be tested. Don't sit back in private judgment trying to escape what you were appointed to. Oh, I have nothing to say. Bullshit. You sit in judgment of everything. And it's all quiet and safe and protected. But it's a mortal wound to the body of Christ. Can everybody hear me? What, Ronnie? You're sitting in Gary's chair. Something's going on in your head. The wheels are spinning. I can smell it from here. Got nothing to say? You're so bad. We're 1 minute till our due time, so wake up. Tell me what's going on.
Just what you said about, sitting in judgment. So, I'm guilty of it.
Would you like to share any of those judgments? Well, let's just share your judgments about me.
I was thinking this morning when I woke up, and it's like, I love to come to Bible study and hear you, even though you piss me off at times, it's like, because I think that, You're saying stuff. Sometimes I judge it as being hurtful and you're beating us up and beating us down all the time, and we know we're a piece of crap and all that, and it's like sometimes give us some encouragement.
Saying you've been, seeing you've been perfected by one offering, that it's finished, well, you're perfect in God's eyes, okay. That's not encouragement?
Well, to hear it come out of your mouth, son, I love you, or daughter, I love you, or friend, I love you, other than, you're a piece of crap, and, you're a wound in the body.
I'm just asking you to say what's there.
Yeah, I got more to say.
Okay.
Just keep going. I'm not doing it yet.
You asked me this morning, you know. Don't hurt trying to be quiet. Nice. You know, and that's how I feel, but somehow or another, it's, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, like you say, you know, why would, you know, any of us be here, you know, listening to you say the stuff that you say? But, you know, I think there is a deep part of us that needs to know the truth.
Amen.
And no matter, you know, what it takes, you know, it might take getting beat around or slapped around, smacked around a little bit, but, you know, it's like, I've got to know the truth at, you know, at whatever the cost.
Well, it only says, I mean, it's not exactly the way I want to hear it, but it's so true about we've been perfected by one offering, and yet we all like to have the warm and fuzzy and cuddly and reassuring approach, and that's not necessarily your style, maybe on occasion, but nonetheless, what you teach is comforting and should set us free and should allow us to be at rest and be at peace, even though it may not be in the manner that we want to hear it. Because I love to hear warm and fuzzy stuff.
You love to hear what?
Warm and fuzzy.
Warm and fuzzy.
All that stuff.
How has that worked out for you in the past?
Very inconsistently.
No, how has it worked out? You found out it was a lie.
Yeah.
But you still wanted to hear it.
It's true. Yeah, it's
well, I'll tell you what you want to hear.
Do you, if you want to hear what you want to hear, then you shouldn't be here.
That's true. Yeah.
What?
I was thinking that when Christ predicted his death and Peter said, you know, there's no way that's going to happen, that's what Christ wanted to hear. But what was his response to that?
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah. I just see that reaction in him shows me that there was something in what Peter said that tempted him, that appealed to that, this, you know.
The Son of Man, sure.
And what we want to hear in terms of encouragement is, as an individual, you're loved and accepted.
Well, you are. Everybody here is loved and accepted, and you know it. At a deep, deep level.
But I want that personally and separately.
For 20 some years, all that Gary wanted to be was my friend. It just made me sick to my stomach. Why? Why would that?
Yeah, why? Why would that?
Because it wasn't after Christ.
Right.
It wasn't his life speaking.
You put him first.
Right.
Yeah. It's like them arguing over who's going to sit on his left and his right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it's you know, I agree. I'm a son of a bitch. I'm a bastard. I'm, as what do they call me, ornery. But the point of it is that it's what I see. That's all I can only be and do what I see. And I must by all means test it by the scriptures. You can be like Wendy said, I must be a cult leader because I know the scriptures so well. But this is our lot. Did I recruit any of you? Did I ever try to get you to do anything? Did I ever tell you what to do? What? Except I...
An occasional day-to-day activity.
Well, in terms of you're working for me, and yeah. But not spiritually.
And occasionally how to do it, too, but that's okay.
Amen there, brother.
Brother?
Yeah.
Here's how you want it.
Well, again, this isn't about me. What I want you to know is that just this feel, what Paul is saying here, and he won't quit. Verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, he could no longer hold it in, because he was so concerned that that small group of people had been seduced away from the cross. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, to know whether or not you've been faithful, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Now. They'd been seduced off into, you know, speaking of the world and having the concerns for the world. This tempter will always try to get you to change just slightly to have the point of view of man instead of the point of view of God.
Is that definition of vain, fruitless, or conceit?
No, empty, fruitless, without value. Vain is never, that's never, the word vain in the scriptures has nothing to do with the English meaning of vain. You like to look in the mirror. This vain here means empty, fruitless, without purpose. Okay?
Right. The term vain glory.
Empty glory. That's what he calls anything, any accomplishment by man is vain glory. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. We'll study the tempter tomorrow.
And what perplexes?
What? And perplexed. I'll get the meaning of the word for perplexed.
All right.
Let me write that down.